unshaken by the blow, Diomedes answered, "A miss, no hit. I doubt you two will quit, though, being what you are, till one of you is down and glutting leather-covered Ares, god of battle, with your blood." At this he made his cast, his weapon being guided by Athena, to cleave Pandarus's nose beside the eye and shatter his white teeth. His tongue the brazen spearhead severed, tip from root, then ploughing on came out beneath his chin. He toppled from the car, and all his armor clanged on him, shimmering. The horses quivered and shied away, but life and spirit ebbed from the broken man, and he lay still. With shield and spear, Aeneas, now on foot, in dread to see the Achaeans drag the dead man, came and bestrode him like a lion at bay. Keeping the spear and rounded shield before him, thrusting to kill whoever came in range, he raised a terrible cry. But Diomedes bent for a stone and picked it up, a boulder no two men now alive could lift, though he could heft it easily. This mass he hurled and struck Aeneas on the hip, just where the hip bone shifts in what they call the bone cup, crushing this joint with two adjacent tendons under the skin ripped off by the rough stone. Now the great Trojan, fallen on his knees, put all his weight on one strong hand and leaned against the earth. Night veiled his eyes. Aeneas would have perished there but for the quickness of the daughter of Zeus, his mother, Aphrodite, she who bore him to shepherding Anchises, and who now pillowed him softly in her two white arms, and held a corner of her glimmering robe to screen him so that no Danaan spear should stab and finish him. Then from the battle heavenward she lifted her dear son. Meanwhile, Sthenelus, the son of Capaneus, remembered the command of Diomedes. He brought his horses to a halt, made fast his taut reins to the chariot rail, and flung himself upon Aeneas's long-maned beautiful team. Away, out of the Trojans' reach, he drove them and gave them into Deipolis's hands, for he esteemed this friend more than his peers for presence of mind, to lead them to the ships. Remounting, shaking out his polished reins, he turned his sure-footed horses and drove hard in Diomedes' track as Diomedes moved ahead to attack the Cyprian goddess. He knew her to be weak, not one of those divine mistresses of the wars of men, Athena, for example, or Enyo, raider of cities. Therefore he dared assail her through a great ruck of battle. When in range, he leaped high after her and with his point wounded her trailing hand. The brazen lance-head slashed her heavenly robe, worked by the graces, and cut the tender skin upon her palm. Now from the goddess that immortal fluid, ichor flowed. The blood of blissful gods who eat no food, who drink no tawny wine, and thereby being bloodless, have the name of being immortal.